Well, it's Severe Weather Awareness Week, and we've been visiting with law enforcement officials, hospital officials, and meteorologists. And now we're going to visit with Ann Jensen over there in Dawson. Ann is part of Southwest EMS, Emergency Medical Services. And thanks for joining us, Ann.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Yeah, first of all, tell us a little bit about what Southwest EMS is, Ann.
So Southwest EMS is a nonprofit that supports an 18-county region in Southwest Minnesota, and I support all the fire agencies, law enforcement. I have 58 ambulance services and 59 first responder units that kind of branch under me for support.
Okay. So basically, you train ambulance crews and first responders then around the area, huh?
Well, I'm part of that training, yep.
Okay.
So once they get through their initial training, which usually comes through a Ridgewater College or a training center, then we offer them free. You have to keep your license up. So we offer that training for free. New protocols and policies that come down for EMS, we offer that for free as well. The Narcan training for the anti-opioid, that came through me. We have some equipment that comes out for free through us. The Hemsley Foundation very graciously gave all hospitals and ambulance services a Lucas machine a few years ago, and I think I was able to give out $1.7 million worth of Lucas machines in my region to all ambulance services and hospitals that didn't have one. So it's programs like that that run through me.
Oh, that's amazing. What is a Lucas machine?
So Lucas machine, when we have a patient that's in cardiac arrest, goes on them and does the chest compressions for us. So it frees up a person to help with other things that are needed. And it's pretty much is the slickest CPR. It's pretty foolproof.
Okay.
When you have a Lucas.
Wow, that's amazing. So you cover a lot of counties, as you mentioned. How many of was that again?
I have 18 counties in Southwest Minnesota.
Wow. Put a lot of miles on, I would guess.
yeah, some days.
Yep. So how did Southwest EMS get started?
It came into existence in 1982, actually, and I'm a grant-written employee. I'm not a state employee, so we write grants for our jobs every 2 years, and then when we are given seatbelt violations, $25 of that seatbelt violation will come into the regional program for me to give out to these services then to do other things with. So that's what helps us afford the free education and the other programs that come out of here.
Okay. How many people around the state do what you do then, Ann? How many?
I am one of eight. I'm one of eight in the state.
Okay. All right. So why don't you maybe give us a daily agenda, what you do on a daily basis. Is it always different, or?
It's always different. Of course, right now with COVID, my job is really revolving around our COVID response. I am going to add that 3 years ago, I took on a federal grant that does hospital preparedness. So we also have a 16-county region, the same counties, two less than I have for ambulances, that we support hospital preparedness as well. Mm-hmm. So we're really focused on COVID response right now. Otherwise, my day is lining up education for people. I have a lobbyist, so when session is in, I'm in constant contact with my lobbyist. We do Stop the Bleed training for free through here. We do the active shooter trainings. We're part of that in facilities and schools. Narcan training and getting out the free Narcan came through here as well. I answer a lot of questions for a lot of services, a lot of policies and protocols, things like that.
Okay.
I have a regional medical director, a doctor that I work closely with, so we bounce things off of him. And I'm kind of the good fairy before, so if something is wrong within an ambulance service, they try to get their questions to me before it gets to the state.
Oh, okay. All right. I like good fairies.
Me too, right?
So how do you, so let's talk about planning for a disaster since it's Severe Weather Awareness Week. An example, hope it never happens, but a tornado goes through one of our communities that in our that you cover. So what's your part in that then?
So my part in that is if a tornado would go through, we'd get the call that there's a community that needs help, and I have a strike team within my region. I can actually set up more than one. So that would be pulling together services that have an extra ambulance. So you get an extra ambulance and five crew members, and they would be able to get into that community usually within 3 hours. So the first 3 hours is going to be dependent on your local power, your local services to handle. But within 3 hours, we'll bring a strike team in, and they can handle the movement of patients and triaging patients with you and transfer patients to other tertiary centers if needed. I also have five little trailers. They're little hazmat trailers, so if something chemically happens, we can decontaminate people right out at the scene. I have three big go trailers loaded with mm-hmm. wheelchairs and pillows and blankets and cots, so they're ready to go as well. I have a big, it's called a boo. It's a big army tent, like a big MASH tent, and actually it's set up right now in Karis Health and Wilmer's parking lot. They're using it for their COVID screening of patients, and it can make a 14-bed hospital unit, basically. We heat it, we cool it. It's got the IV poles and everything, so we can bring that in and set it up if it's going to be something that's extended that we need to be there for a while.
Mm-hmm. So I'm taking it that you work closely with local law enforcement and hospitals in the counties that you cover.
I do, yep.
Okay. Now with this pandemic going on, Ann, I'm guessing, you know, we always learn new things, and pandemics don't happen very often, thank goodness. Going forward here, I'm sure there'll be a lot of meetings about what went right and what went wrong during our pandemic and our planning, I suppose, huh?
Yeah, so we call them after action reports. So we kind of have sit reps, so situation daily reports that we send out, and at the end, everybody takes their lessons learned and we put it into what's called an after action report, so we can learn for the next time what went right, what went wrong, and what we could do differently to handle the situation better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, planning's very important, isn't it?
It is. It is, especially at a time like this.
Yep. I tell you what, we need to thank the crews, don't we? The ambulance crews during this COVID, all the hospital workers and everyone involved on the front lines during the pandemic here, aren't we? Don't we?
We do. We do. Utmost thanks to, like you said, everybody that's on the front line. And there's a lot of people on the front line that probably don't get the credit that they need. There's a lot of working behind the scenes going on right now. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I want to thank our community for listening to the stay at home and doing what they can that way to help, because that it is making a big difference to bring that curve down.
With Severe Weather Awareness Week going on, what would be your advice to maybe parents or families listening to plan for a severe weather disaster or whatever?
Well, unfortunately, we're not doing any of the drills for severe weather, but it would be to drill with your family. You know, where are your, if a tornado does come through, where should you go in the house? If the kids are home alone, mm-hmm. You know, is there a neighbor that they should touch base with once it's over? Who's checking in on them? Do have a plan within your home.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned that. Is that different for every county if they want to participate in severe weather for the warnings and stuff, or is it a statewide thing?
Statewide.
Oh, it's statewide.
It's statewide.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good. All right, Ann. Well, thanks for your time. Appreciate that. And thanks for all you do, too.
Hey, thank you, Paul. Have a good day.
Yep. That's Ann Jensen from Southwest EMS in Dawson.